as we gather today at St. Luke's for worship. Again, a communion service, so if you're watching at home, you may wish to prepare the elements at any point, or maybe you have that already done. But I have some comment before we begin our worship today. I know that many of you have been shaken by events this past week, as have I. Wednesday was a day that was nearly unbelievable. I know that human governments are not ultimate, but this is, after all, the land and the government I have known and love. In my lifetime, I've lived through Pearl Harbor. I remember my parents coming home and telling about it and saying we were at war. The assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., and others. I was only months into my first call, in fact, when we held a prayer vigil the evening of the Kennedy assassination. I observed from a distance the violent resistance to the civil rights movement. I was driving to a Lenten service when I heard of the King assassination, and I watched in horror as 9/11 unfolded. And yet, as I reflect on it, I consider this past Wednesday the worst day for our nation that I have lived through, the only one that was a direct attack on our Constitution and our system of government. There's much more I could say, but this is a time for some mourning and reflection, time for repentance, which means, of course, a change of heart, and a time to reflect on our role as citizens and Christians. I think as Americans, we need to learn our history, and this may surprise you, but I think something that is at the root even of that day, we need to learn to talk about race and politics, or we will destroy ourselves. As Christians, it's time to learn from Scripture and from the ministry of Jesus the things that will let us live together in peace. Thursday, nearly all of us received an email from Lois Madsen that I will share these in closing these comments before we turn to the worship service, a very fine email. We ask for healing, wisdom, and guidance for our nation. This prayer is taken from a Lutheran prayer book copyrighted in 1976. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help. Grant us in all our doubts and uncertainties the grace to seek your will, so that we may turn from the way of error and in your light see light, and in your straight path never stumble. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And she closed with a familiar song verse for all of us. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Just further announcement, church council meets today, and men's breakfast and Bible study on Thursday resume this week. We turn then to the brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. We sing. Thank you. This being the day of the baptism of our Lord, that is our hymn, Praise Be.
We are baptized in Christ Jesus. We are baptized in his death. That as Christ is raised victorious, we might live a brand new life. And if we have been united in a dreadful death like his, we will all be reunited, for he lives. Glory be to God the Father, glory be to Christ the Son, glory to the Holy Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, glory now resounds again in a song that has no ending.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful in their calling to be your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Genesis. Out of chaos, God brings order. Out of the formless void, God brings light. The familiar story was good news for the Israelites, who experienced much chaos in their history. It remains good news for us. God created and continues to create new life. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees dry and strips the forests bare.
And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The second reading today is from the 19th chapter of Acts. In Ephesus, Paul encounters people who had received John's baptism of repentance, but had never heard of the Holy Spirit or of baptism in the name of Jesus. After Paul baptizes them, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and empowers them with the gifts of the Spirit. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you've read these questions before if you've ever watched TV. Who are you? And what are you doing here? Relevant in today's gospel and today's theme, even though it's something that I just saw in kind of a cheesy movie recently, because today is the baptism of our Lord, the first Sunday after Epiphany, and in this gospel we heard Mark's telling of the story. Difference in some details, but the telling in every gospel leads us to think about baptism. Jesus' baptism and yours and mine. The baptism of Jesus is really important in the total story of Jesus' ministry. In this particular gospel that I just read, Mark says that only Jesus sees the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending. And only Jesus apparently hears the voice, "You are my Son, the Beloved." Notice that the baptism of Jesus, and the same is true of our baptism then, part of it is about that first question, who are you? It's about identity. It was at his baptism that Jesus was publicly identified as Son of God. It was always true. But now it's made known. It's out there. Baptism did not make him Son of God. But now that truth was declared. And that kind of relates to something I need to say about us. Back in the middle of the last century, there was a Swedish theologian named Gustav Wingren who wrote a book titled Creation and Law. And he gave a new perspective on some things that I hadn't thought about in the same way. I read it when I was a seminary student. One point he made is that we are all children of God, not only because of our faith or not only because of our baptism. We are children of God from birth because God has created us. In Martin Luther's Small Catechism, he wrote, "I believe that God has created me and all that exists." Catch what that means? Every human being is a child of God by the fact of creation, of birth. Every child, whether of Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Mormon or Buddhist or atheist, well, I can't cover the whole list, but every child, every person is child of God. So then why baptism? What's the deal? It is about your identity. It's the occasion, there's public witness that you as child of God are now connected to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It tells the world that you are part of the church, claimed by God, part of this community. And that's why Lutherans are uncomfortable with the view of churches that practice adult baptism or only believers' baptism, because that, to us, has the sound of making it seem that your relationship to God is dependent on you, on your faith, your affirmation. And we say, no, your relationship to God is based on your existence. And now, with baptism, you have been embraced and acknowledged by God and this community. It is not subjective. It is visible, public, declared, witnessed. Your identity is a given. And that can be, at least for Luther it was, a great comfort. Child of God, with you I am well pleased, says God. This was a good choice. Glad you're part of the family. We all need the affirmation, because in the midst of everything this world throws at us, again this week, it's kind of hard to keep our identity straight. To keep straight all the things we know about ourselves, who we are, all the frustrated hopes and dashed dreams, all the grief and all the doubts and all the struggles, but within it all is a message of love and community, of faith and hope and promise, a message of service, a message of God. As I just said, in one sense, you are a child of God by your very being. But baptism says something else happens. And that's the question, the second part of that question I opened with, what are you doing here? God calls you, claims you, drafts you to be a servant, witness, to be part of the very presence of God in this world. Maybe some of you have eaten at the Olive Garden. You know their theme, when you're here, your family. Well, baptism says you are part of this very special family that represents our Lord in all we say and do. Now, friends, you know what it means to be part of a family, right? Make your bed, dry the dishes, set the table, mow the lawn, walk the dog. Yeah, chores. I've always, in children's sermons or confirmation classes, I've asked that question. Have your parents ever seen some kid walking past on the street and gone out of the house just to ask him to come in and do some of those things? I've never gotten a yes to that question. Because the work goes with the identity. We should all remember that. And that ties to the baptism of Jesus. No sooner has Jesus been declared, affirmed as Son of God, than he sent into the wilderness, into the time of testing and confrontation with the tempter. The identity is directly connected to the mission. They are inseparable. And there's something else we could know, not in this reading, but it's worth pointing out in the Gospels. Have you ever thought of Jesus as being a learner? If you have, you may be in the minority, because we spend so much time, so many words on Jesus as divine, as Son of God, as ultimately wise and worker of miracles, that we might miss it. But Luke tells us Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. There's that story of a Gentile woman asking Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus first refuses until he sees her faith and meets her need. Yes, it was a learning experience. And he says one time, there are things that only the Father knows. And the book of Hebrews says he learned obedience through what he suffered. So, same for us, friends. What follows our baptism, then, is not only a new identity, but also learning and chores. We don't leave the font as finished products at whatever age we're baptized. Rather, that's the first step in a lifetime of learning and doing. It is in some ways like anything else in life. Let's use a couple of examples. I loved sports, still do. I had to learn not only individual skills, but teamwork. Had to learn how to blend and share, putting skills together, finding harmony in working with a common purpose. Same thing for musicians. You learn the instrument, you learn the music, but you also learn how to listen to one another and achieve a harmony of effort and effect. As members of the body of Christ, yeah, there are things we learn that are just kind of our own, but most important then is to let ourselves be shaped into community by Spirit and Gospel. 2 Corinthians has that verse about being transformed into the image of our Lord. So part of that transformation is learning to notice what God cares about. Notice what the presence of Jesus meant in his world and what it should mean in ours. God cares about the whole creation, friends, and about justice and love. Jesus lived a life of love and inclusion, reaching past all of the divisions and the borders that we humans love to create. A constant challenge to all the baptized is to look at life, even our politics, to see if Jesus can be seen in our votes, in our texts, in our tweets, in our emails, in the things we support and advocate. Last year, I guess I've done some reading. Last year, I read a book titled The Color of Law. If you're a reader, find it. It surprised me in many ways because it documents how laws and courts have contributed to the racial prejudice and division we continue to live with. Or in some cases, courts and governments have conspired with the prejudice already present, existing in cities and states, to deny opportunity and equality. In the Gospels, we read of Jesus ministering to Romans, other Gentiles, people who were regarded as enemies, elevating the status of women, visiting with a Samaritan woman, and telling that familiar story of a Samaritan as the positive example. The point of that, friends, is not simply that we come away saying three cheers for Jesus, but these give examples that should take root in our lives and help to reshape our neighborhood and our world, to guide us past our own fears and prejudices. Jesus, I've said it before, included the overlooked, the outcast, and the stranger, and we are given the same assignment. Uncomfortable, sometimes risky, because it involves social problems, political issues, real stuff in the real world that we live in day by day. It means learning to recognize when we are being asked to buy in to the fear and the prejudice of others. But we're given the antidote. We have the presence and promise of the Holy Spirit, the affirmation of a God-given identity to help us become what we pray that we might be. Who are you? And what are you doing here? We pray that we be faithful in our calling to be God's sons and daughters, that joined to Christ in baptism, that we may live always with that commitment. Amen. Blessed assurance.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Together with the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all people in need. For the Church throughout the world and its leaders, that guided by the Holy Spirit, they proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray. Have mercy on them. For the nations of the world and their leaders, for laborers busy both day and night, and for peacemakers amid strife, that God inspire all people to use their strength wisely, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the sick and those who provide medical care, for the imprisoned and those who show them mercy, for the lonely and those who provide companionship, and for all who suffer, especially Jill, others known and named in our hearts before you. That God shower compassion, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Turning to prayers for our nation, gracious God, grant peace among nations. Cleanse from our own hearts the seeds of strife, greed and envy, harsh misunderstandings and ill will, fear and desire for revenge. Make us quick to welcome ventures in cooperation among the peoples of the world, so that there may be woven the fabric of a common good too strong to be torn by the forces of evil. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Eternal God, amid all the turmoil and changes of the world, your love is steadfast, and your strength never fails. In this time of danger and trouble, be to us a sure guardian and a rock of defense. Guide the leaders of our nation with your wisdom, comfort those in distress, and grant us courage and hope to face the future. Let us pray. Holy Trinity, one God, you show us the splendor of diversity and the beauty of unity in your own divine life. Make us who came from many nations with many languages a united people that delights in our many different gifts. Defend our liberties and give those whom we have entrusted with authority the spirit of wisdom, that there might be justice and peace in our land. Let us pray. God, our refuge and strength, you have bound us together in a common life. In all our conflicts, help us to confront one another without hatred or bitterness, to listen for your voice amid competing claims, and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who now rest from their labors, that their witness inspire us in our baptismal vocations, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwelt among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And we share that peace in whatever way that's possible for us to do. In this time when ordinarily our gifts are being gathered in the offering, we do remember to express our thanks for your faithfulness in responding to the needs of the congregation and the world, and to continue to take part in ministries of this congregation. Those are blessings to us and to many others who are touched by those generous gifts. Thank you. We continue with the Let the Vineyards.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the peace to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all the human being, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy Lord, Lord God of far and wide, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O God, the fountain of all holiness. You bring light from darkness, life from death, speech from silence. We thank you for the new world to come, for the love that will rule in all. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, yet keep you in his grace. Amen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a golden crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.